From Hook and Bullet to Policy and Science, we're here to discuss and dissect all matters of importance to Montana's rugged landscape and the people and wildlife that call it home. This is Montana Untamed. Thirty-one years ago, 1,321 mule deer were shot by hunters in Hunting District 502, a record high. In 2021, the total mule deer harvested in the same district was 477. There are a number of hunting regulations being proposed for big game species in Montana that the Fish and Wildlife Commission has on its December 14th meeting agenda. Anyone interested in their hunting district or region should check out the online information to be informed about what is going on. Ideally, most hunters have already taken part in one of the many meetings offered around the state. In looking at the proposals before the commission, Billings Gazette outdoor editor Brett French noted one common theme popping up across the state: declining mule deer numbers. Brett's with me today to talk about his recent reporting on the regulation changes. Brett, can you just tell listeners what's behind this drop in mule deer numbers across the state? I'm sure it's not a simple answer.
Yeah, Tom, it's tied to many things, as most people will remember if they know anything about mule deer. Obviously, weather's a big deal. Drought in the summer is bad. Drought in the winter is bad. Harsh winters are bad. So those really affect fawn survival across the state. And Montana has seen some harsh winters. Last year was a pretty good one. I think it was 2 years ago was another bad one. And then parts of the state have seen some real serious drought, especially that this year was unusual because it was northwest Montana. But prior to that, it was kind of that east of the Rocky Mountain front area has been repeatedly in the drought cycle. This has southeastern Montana, which kind of bounced back this last year after several years of bad drought.
And so is this common, the dip in mule deer numbers? Is this a cyclical thing?
Yeah, it is. Going way back to the 1970s, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has done studies in the Missouri Breaks documenting, I think it was a 28-year study, about mule deer and trying to dig into what causes these fluctuations. And they came up with about a 15-year cycle. You know, it varies year to year, but the populations tend to ebb and flow. And if you look at the most recent data on FWP's website, they show a peak in Montana's mule deer population about 2017. And since then, it's been on a pretty steady decline. So that's something we're seeing. But I looked back, too, and I saw 2013, 10 years ago, I was writing about a mule deer decline across the West. So it's not just Montana either that is seeing this fluctuations, and I think just an overall decline in mule deer densities.
So is what we're seeing today, is this following those previous trends, or is this a more dramatic decrease, do we know?
Well, I think what's different these days is that we're now dealing with chronic wasting disease, and that's
right.
Impacting numbers in a couple of ways. First, it's always fatal, so any deer that gets it is going to die. And also the management action that Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has taken is trying to reduce deer or elk numbers where these outbreaks occur to try and keep the population low so there's less chance of a spread, because the more crowded the conditions, the more likely the spread. And so if you look at the map for where detections have been in Montana, it's pretty confined so far to, you know, this area around Billings. You mentioned the hunting district here just south of Billings, which was one of the first places where chronic wasting disease was identified in a wild population. And it's also really sprung up in that southwestern area, Dillon, even seeing it in Bozeman, and then along the High Line, tends to be the other area where the outbreaks seem to be more common. It's kind of avoided the central part of the state, but any of these studies that have tracked deer movements show how far they can go, so the likelihood of those areas staying disease-free forever, pretty unlikely, I would say, especially if you look at Wyoming as an example, where some of the first outbreaks were detected. It's just slowly marched across the entire state there from the southeast to the northwest, and now they're even detecting it in Yellowstone National Park, which is kind of scary.
Right, right. So I guess I got a clarifying question. So, you know, like you said, a management approach to getting out in front of CWD is to decrease deer population numbers. So when CWD was detected in Montana a handful of years ago, did the commission liberalize harvest regulations in those districts? Did they increase the amount of, opportunity available?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting that first year. I think it was 2017. Immediately, they offered extra tags in those regions, kind of that Carbon County area, the southern portions and eastern portions of Carbon County. And we had people driving from as far away as Washington buying these extra doe tags to come here and hunt, which was really surprising to me that somebody would drive that far just to hunt a doe deer. But yeah, they issued extra permits. The permits were selling out very quickly. And so it seemed to, I don't remember what the success rate was, but the idea was, you know, to drop those numbers.
Right. So, and I guess I've got one more clarifier on the CWD situation. It seems to me like maybe it's a chicken and egg thing, or maybe it's not. Like, are these population decreases, well, one, are these population decreases only in the CWD positive districts? And if they are, is it result of the liberalized hunting regulations, or is it result of die-off from the disease? Do we know?
Well, that's a great question. And some of these population declines have been in the central part of the state, Region 4. They have several districts there where they're recommending a reduction in mule deer B tags. And so far, in I think a lot of those districts, there hasn't been any chronic wasting disease detected. I think they're still awaiting results on some of the more recent tests, but so far none. But yeah, that's definitely the case, I think, in regions where you've seen the outbreaks. You know, they liberalized the hunting regs there to try and take more animals. And specifically, you know, they want to get rid of the mule deer bucks because they're thought to be more susceptible and carry the disease farther, wander more.
Right, right. And I guess I lied. I've got one more on CWD, and then we can move on. Do we have any idea if the surveillance actions and the mitigation programs that the state is implementing on CWD are reducing or helping the amount of CWD that we're finding? I kind of looked. It looked like maybe there was less CWD positive deer checked this year, this hunting season, than years past?
Well, I guess I'd have to say no, because, you know, we wouldn't have these outbreaks spreading to places like southwestern Montana, which where the incidence really climbed among white-tailed deer, which were less common. You know, it was mainly mule deer over here and very few elk, and now we're seeing it in more elk in Wyoming. So, but it's hard to say too, because you don't have, you know, it's not like a study where you can say, okay, we're going to do this population, we're just going to let things go wild, and over here we're going to cut them down to next to nothing. But the theory is, you know, that if there's fewer animals, there's fewer possible animals that are going to be infected and spreading the disease. So it's, you know, the theory's sound. It's just a matter of the fact that these animals wander so far, can wander so far, and chronic wasting disease is so unusual in that it can survive in the environment for a long time, and they're not really sure that it isn't taken up by plants. So like if it gets into the soil, the plant may take up these infectious prions and infect animals. So it's a really scary infection.
Right, right. You know, and in any hunters out there listening, I would encourage you to read up on, you know, what CWD is and its effect on other states. But anyway, let's move on from CWD to other maybe reasons. You know, what are, you talked to some biologists, what are they citing for, you know, possible reasons for these mule deer declines?
That was kind of interesting in the reports that they attached to these regulation changes. The biologists cite the reasoning behind why they're seeking these. And Sonia Anderson and over in Region 4 in central Montana said that there may be an increase in harvest of mule deer as there's been more concentration on reducing elk numbers. So you have more hunters concentrated in some of these districts looking to take elk, and if they're not seeing an elk, or while they're out elk hunting, you know, they're filling a deer tag with a mule deer. Another one I hadn't heard before was that these bucks may be pretty defensive of their habitat and outcompete fawns going into the winter season. I had never heard that before, where the bucks may be a detriment to fawn survival. But I think the big thing that everybody agrees on is it's really about habitat and the condition they go into the winter. You know, so after a good summer like we had this year, where there's a lot of food around, it should help them survive. But there's also the issue, too, and this has gone back a couple of years. There's been studies about competition with elk. So as these elk numbers increase in central and eastern Montana, they do overlap in some of the foods they eat. So there's that extra competition for food. I think like elk eat 52% of the same foods that mule deer eat, I think was the number I came across, something like that. So.
Wow. Okay. So a couple interesting things in there. First, the idea that as the state is pushing people to harvest elk in some of these districts, and maybe liberalizing those regulations to get more people out hunting these elk herds, there's kind of a unintended take of mule deer while they're out there looking for elk. Is that correct?
Yeah, right.
And then also this idea that the elk might be eating these surging populations of elk might be eating the deer out of house and home.
Right. And I, you know, just from my perspective alone, as somebody who's hunted in central Montana for several decades, you know, we used to never see white-tailed deer when we were out hunting. It was very rare. They were like the unicorns in the forest, you know, and it was really a big deal. And now it's the other way around in the areas that I hunt. It's very unusual to see a mule deer. So they have that competition too. Whitetail are known to be very competitive, you know, and maybe pushing some of these deer into less suitable habitat. Obviously, they don't always occupy the same habitat, but we now see whitetail deer up in the foothills of the Beartooth and back into the Beartooth where you never used to see them before. So, yeah, it's probably a lot of things, but it is interesting how all these different factors are kind of combining to impact this species that's really kind of representative of the West and pretty unique.
Right, right. And I mean, just to recap here, it's a statewide, species-wide decline in population that, as you've, you know, explained to us, is lots of different reasons, but this is a statewide issue for mule deer.
Pretty much. If you look at the FWP stats. It shows some long-term averages. You know, some regions, the long-term averages are pretty close, within like 5% or so. I think Region 3 was one of those. But overall, yeah, it's pretty much across the state. And I think it was interesting, too, that we just had a report by the Helena reporter regarding the culling of trapping of deer in Helena. And those populations are up because they haven't been able to trap as much or as effectively as they've wanted to. And you're seeing a lot more communities enact these urban deer hunts or urban deer reductions, which kind of leaves the question open, well, is it really a habitat thing then? Because, you know, they go into town, they've got lots of habitat and no competition and no predators. And they do pretty well, it seems like, in places like Roundup and Helena, and a lot more communities are opening up seasons. I mean, I remember the first one was Colstrip, and it was kind of a unique deal, you know, to have hunting within the city limits, archery season. So now it's spread out across, you know, much of the state.
Yeah, and I saw, I mean, you briefly mentioned there that Roundup, they're having a hunt this year, urban deer, deer population reduction hunt, kind of inside the city limits on city-owned property.
Right, yeah, and they've done that, I want to say, for at least 5 years. And
really,
you know, it's archery only, and it seems to have helped. They've had less conflicts, you know, with the deer eating people's landscaping and getting hit by vehicles, which is expensive. And it's you know, it's like any hunting season, and especially with archery, the take is pretty low.
Right. Yeah, it's no easy feat, even if you are hunting in the city limits or on a golf course, for that matter.
Right.
Okay, so let's get to the, you know, proposed regulations that the commission will be discussing and enacting here in the future. What are some of these changes that biologists are recommending, in particular in areas where the mule deer populations are down?
So the most obvious one is just a reduction in those B tags that, you know, are targeting antlerless deer. So fewer does would be killed because obviously they're going to be the ones that target reproductive success. So fewer doe tags. And in some areas, it's kind of interesting. They're proposing that only allowing mule deer doe hunting on private land, because a lot of times, you know, deer will concentrate on private land because they can't be hunted by other hunters, or they'll, you know, not unlike elk. And so the idea being to give landowners an out to help reduce any deer damage on private property. So that's kind of a newer wrinkle.
You know, Montana gets knocked a lot, you know, in the hunting community across the West, mule deer hunters across the West. You know, knock Montana for its trophy class of mule deer, because Montana's managed as, you know, an opportunity state, not, you know, a trophy state like, you know, other states in the West, Utah, Colorado, and the like. Has there been any discussion maybe making a change to regulations to increase the size of mule deer bucks, or is the commission only looking at these population dynamics?
Yeah, that comes up every time there's a discussion about regulation changes. And I think in that survey we talked about here earlier this year, that was one of the questions they posed. And again, you know, it showed that people really want to be out and have the opportunity. But if they had a choice, you know, obviously they'd like the opportunity to take a large buck. So it's kind of a either or thing in real life, where in the hunter's mind, you know, it'd be nice if it was either.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it seems to come up every time. And like you said, it's always been criticized that there's not more concentration on bringing these larger bucks into the population, encouraging that. But yeah, I remember when I was younger that southeastern Montana was well known for producing these huge muley bucks, you know, with these big spreads that went beyond their ears. And you go into the bars down there and see some of those photographs posted on the walls showing some of those huge muleys, and you just don't hear about those much anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the collective inches of mule deer antler sitting in, you know, mint bars across the state is mind-boggling for, you know, modern-day hunters who will spend weeks looking for, you know, something bigger than a four-point mule deer buck. I guess I'm wondering, can you maybe give folks a primer on how this whole commission regulation change thing works for those who don't know how the process is likely to unfold?
Yeah, so it has changed with the new administration. It used to be, you know, they took public comment during the meetings, and that's no longer the case. So all the public comment is gathered before the meetings, and so you have a lot of reading online if you're interested in hunting regulations. The one for Region 5, I think, was like 33 pages long, listing different changes in the data behind why they want to do it. And so comments, they also posted public comments online, which is kind of interesting to see, you know, what other hunters are encountering out there. And of course, they held meetings all across the state, and there was a big push by folks like the Montana Wildlife Federation to get people to turn out and talk about what they'd like to see on the landscape. So all that has to take place ahead of time. And interesting this year, too, the commissioners are coming out with several proposed changes that they'd like to see at different areas across the state. And so that's kind of a new wrinkle, too, that we haven't seen before. And all this stuff is getting posted online that if you're really interested in those hunting regs, you might want to click on there and spend some time, because it's going to take a while. But there's also interesting details in there. You can find out, like, some areas they've seen really good harvest, and so they're actually pulling back on elk harvest, and that was kind of surprising to me that, especially in central Montana, there's plenty of access in some areas, and they've seen a pretty good take of these elk numbers, so they want to pull back on the shoulder season.
Right, right. Are we expect to see fireworks? Mule deer don't strike me as controversial as, you know, wolves and elk.
Yeah, it's always hard to say, but yeah, those items are on the agenda too. And I think anytime you're talking about deer and elk hunting, it's has the potential for raising some hackles, but I haven't heard anything yet.
So I guess before we wrap up, you know, I mean, you've been a deer hunter in this state for decades. Do you have any, you know, final thoughts or anecdotal information about what you've observed on mule deer?
Yeah, I think chronic wasting disease, you know, is the scariest thing we face, because once that gets into the populations, it just seems like it's going to be a downward trend. And we're seeing more infections in elk, which it used to be considered that they were maybe more resistant than it seems like they are, but still they're being infected. And especially on the feed grounds down in Wyoming, those elk migrate, they congregate in the winter, they migrate into Yellowstone. The chances for that spreading into Montana is a concern. That's my biggest concern going forward. I think it was interesting, too, this season, a lot of hunters were maybe aging out like me. You know, you got the baby boomers, I'm at the tail end of that. You're seeing fewer hunter numbers at the check stations this season, fewer success. And, you know, it's hard to measure success. Are they choosing just not to fill a tag because it's not something they wanted, or they didn't have a great shot? But you're also seeing a decline in that. And the repercussions from that are, you know, you get fewer hunters in the field. That's fewer dollars for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks that relies totally on hunters for it, and anglers for its funding, you know. So there's that concern out there too, and that's why you're seeing, you know, things like trying to get more youngsters interested by moving down the age that kids can go hunting to 10, and planting pheasants to increase their participation in upland bird hunting, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts, so it'll be interesting to see how things shake out in the future, always.
Right. Yeah, I feel like there's a paradox there, probably deserving of its own whole episode, but the decrease in hunters checked at game stations just doesn't seem to equate with my observations and other hunters' observations over hunting pressure and the amount of hunters that we see out there. You know, I've only been hunting in Montana since I was a kid, maybe 20 years or so. And boy, it just, I feel like I'm a much better hunter today, but it's a heck of a lot harder to get it done without, you know, orange dots on every ridge.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. And I, you know, you've seen the resident, non-resident hunting has, you know, kind of stayed pretty consistent as you've seen this drop in resident hunting. And I really, the guys I saw this year in the field from out of state, you know, one was from North Dakota, didn't ask where the other one was from. He flew in though and rented a vehicle and was out there for a whole week. You know, these guys are mobile. They're hitting a lot of areas or maybe really concentrating on one area. And back in the day, you know, people were lucky to get a weekend off to go hunting, and usually maybe a couple of weekends was pretty good, but it seems like there's more days in the field now. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with programs like Meat Eater. You know, it's really, these guys that I were talking to seemed very meat eater oriented in terms of how they talked about things and what they were doing. So I think that's kind of interesting too. So you're getting these hunters that are maybe more educated. I don't know. The guys I saw were on their own, which was interesting too. I've seen others, you know, where it's a group or so from like Washington State or Minnesota. But I thought that was pretty interesting to see these individuals out there just hopping around for a week or camping out for a week to target one area. That was during the archery season, so they were looking for elk.
Right, right. Well, anyway, hey, thanks for coming on, Brett. We'll be looking out for your reporting on what the commission decides to do with this stuff.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Montana Untamed is a podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana newspapers. Visit any of our websites or subscribe wherever podcasts are found.